Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, Ilona Europa, Accent on LA Talk Radio, every Monday from 6 till 7 p.m. Pacific Time. That's where we are here, having good time, and hoping that everybody who is watching us, or listening to us, or then downloads our show, has a good time too with us. What do you think, people? Life is good?
Life is wonderful.
Okay, and what do you think?
I think that's the best way to connect to people, to be live, alive,
present. Dead, you know, we are dead. But okay, our guests are always the best part of the show. So I am very excited to have my Mondays. And people hate Mondays. I love Mondays because of my show. And I'm meeting new people and I'm getting friends with them. And they are coming back if they are interesting. And something tells me that our guest will be coming over and over and over. Because you know what? They have lots of to say and lots of to teach us. And they're just very, very special human beings. I know that everybody probably knows our gorgeous, our beautiful expert on diet, and her name is
Anya.
Anya, your full name, until you want people call you only Anya. But
my name is Anna Leszczyńska.
Yes, that's what we want, because the Leszczyńska right away suggests that she has an accent from
Poland.
Ilona Europa, Polish girl too. So I found you. I really, really love the way how you teach us your logic behind dieting, no dieting. So that's what makes me very excited to have you every month and making you our expert. Because not only you'll be teaching us something really cool before Christmas, we'll be talking about some Polish food and about how to not overexpand our stomach in the next 2 weeks and still feel like we have a right to enjoy the season. Yes, Anya?
Totally right. Yes, we can do it.
We can do it. When it comes to our unusual human being that I met because of Anya, we had this really, really nice gatherings with a lot of international people, and Hasham was one of them. We had amazing evening filled with laughters and storytelling and just unusual storytelling and little poetry. So he's this free-spirited soul and very technologically smart gentleman. Then he's the artist, then he's philosopher. He is like, who are you? Okay, who are you?
Well, yes, I am a living paradox.
I like that.
I'm still figuring that out, but I'm Hasham Ahmed Khan. I'm originally from Pakistan. Okay. And good evening to all of you.
Yes, and you have very unusual accent. You have little English in you, little, because you are living life in many places. And I would love people to know you maybe a little bit your life, of course, because now you are in America for whatever many years, you will tell us again. But all of us have story, how we came here and why we are here and what we are doing here. Do we want to be here forever? Or what is the next step in life? Yes?
Yes, so I have been in US for the last 18 years.
18, okay.
And my father decided to send me away when I was 19, which was probably the wisest decision he made for me, because I was a renegade in Pakistan. Yes. As a teenager, rambunctious, free-spirited, teenager who was very self-destructive and who was sent to USA for an undergrad degree, and I self-tamed myself with my experience here.
Huh. But okay, daddy who says, son, time to leave Pakistan and just go to Europe and get your degree and study, study, study. Maybe this is a punishment. On another side, I think like this is a maybe vacation for young gentlemen. So was this really punishment or was this something that you enjoyed?
I think as a rambunctious teenager, it was a punishment with the hope that he will make it. So it was probably the best punishment I've ever got. Wonderful. The wisest decision my father made for me.
You know,
and it made me who I am.
Because, made you who you are right now. Because we had this few hours, all of us together with Anya. Anya was just amazing host for us. And we have some girl from Russia. We have just really international gatherings. Was really cool, filled, I think, with tacos and burritos.
Yeah, Mexican food.
Mexican
yes.
food, which was very unusual. And we were talking a lot of food from different countries. We were talking about Hasham also being very good cook. And, you know, then I start a little bit spending a time and talking to you. And I really, really find you fascinating human being. So I know a little bit your life story, so I will be leading to the point that then you will lead me. I think before I will start asking you questions, I would love people to listen to your poem.
Okay.
So we have two poems for today. And after that, we will tell people what you are really doing right now with your life in Los Angeles. But let's listen to your poem. And title is?
In Love.
In Love.
Yes.
Okay.
So I do write all kinds of poetries as they come to me. But I felt like since everybody is a lover and has tasted the pleasures and pains and heartbreaks of love in some capacity or form in their lives, so this will resonate with pretty much everyone across the board. This one is called In Love, and this is how it goes. In love, I burn like a wick of candle. In love, I burn like a wick of candle. The flame never dies. They try to blow it out. It flickers with passion. Heat is intense. This pain is player. I will melt to nothing, wishing to be reprised by my lover. To ignite the flame again, I will burn for eternity in love. In love, I burn like a wick of candle.
Oh. Are you in love?
I'm always in love.
So, always in love, that's a very good state of mind.
It is. If it's the right kind of love.
If this is the right kind
if
of love.
If it's a peace of mind.
Oh, gosh. Yes. That's what I hope people will understand, how really beautifully you can talk to Hasham, because he will take you from one question, sometimes a rhetorical question, but he will also put you in his own ways of thinking, which will make you think a little bit his way, but also you will start thinking, do I really agree with that? Maybe you are thinking, which I like when I think.
I am provocative in that sense, yes.
And
that
it's beautiful. Is this something that you learned?
So I've come to a realization that this is something of being a nonconformist. I've always been a provocative, a maverick kind of personality, and I like to stir the pot, and I like to make people think, and that's my way of giving to them, empowering them by finding them who they are, and so they can decide and choose for themselves with clarity.
That's already, I will take my headphones off. That already suggests to me that you like to coach, you like to talk to people. So you probably have a clients who come to you to just talk or discover themselves or learn how to think differently or just suck a little bit your inner beauty because, yeah, you are provocative, you are very well educated man. And we will talk a little bit about who you are outside of what we are talking about. So, yeah, how do you meet your clients?
Well, I don't meet them. I don't advertise. I don't reach out.
No, now we do.
They find me. And that's how it has been working for me. A word of mouth, friends of friends, acquaintances, and somehow magically I have felt, okay, if someone needs me where I can lend my support or my ears, then I make myself available. And usually it's a reference, usually it's serendipity. Usually I just meet people just by like this. But most of my, if I have to call it my service, but I make myself available for my friends and friends of friends, peers at work, colleagues, wherever possible, in any possible way, without any expectation of a monetary return. People have been telling me, okay, why don't you take it to a professional level? I'm not too sure about that. Maybe in the future, near future. But for now, I'm willing to share my time with anybody when I have time.
So you are like breathing book that we can open on whatever page we decide, whenever the chapter is on certain subject, and we can say, Hasham, this is the book that I am right now inside of this book, this journey of reading. And I have the chapter that maybe scares me. I have something coming in my life that maybe I need to more think about. Or maybe this is something that is retrospective that bugs me. Maybe I'm insecure. Maybe I'm not sure about my own thoughts and feelings. And I have nobody really to talk about that. I have maybe people say a doctor, a psychological doctor, who just give you 1 hour and look at the 1 hour passes and they say, oh, your time expired for the day. See you next month or whatever. But, you know, it's like with you, seems like this will be more like almost a friendship, easy going friendship without judgmental aspect of it. Or could you tell me how we can... Yeah, how do you think that you can even give people advice on the journey and problems, life problems?
So yeah, thank you, Ilona. I think you summarized it in a very beautiful way. And yes, people, I make sure that they find the comfort level with me, whether they're my friends or colleagues or anybody, stranger. And I have to exude this energy and love by accepting, and that acceptance comes with this higher state of awareness, where I do not create any form of judgment or opinion in my mind, and I just let it be. And when I meet people for any kind of help or support, besides being provocative, and that's where we get into those debates, challenges for them to find the clarity. But besides being provocative, the most important aspect for me is to help them find them, so they have the clarity to make the choice or decision. And the way I try for them to be them is by becoming me. So I become completely transparent, like a mirror, so they can reflect, bounce their thoughts, opinions, energy from across me, from me. And they can learn from that. So in that sense, I try to become a mirror. When needed, I step in as a provocative friend to trample their ego or to opine on their judgments. But once I actually told Ania, like, I am there to show you. When you become you, I become me. So the whole idea is that we find our genuine selves and have that clarity.
Wow, this is beautiful, beautiful description of what you think you are when you are sitting across the table with your friend, and what really the process or the moment is like when somebody engages with conversation with you. Because I, like you said, because you are not reaching out in the commercial way for say, hey, I'm looking for people with issues because I can do this and this and that. No, you mostly, you are walking your life, living your life by being part of society, absolutely, part of friendships or events or something. You naturally, some people just will come to you, and that's, I think, is little tiny magic, because we are longing people like you, because for whatever reason is you have this aura about you that maybe you have something to say, then maybe you are deeper than most of us, maybe you have some answers, maybe you are just smarter or better read. I don't know what it's about. You need to tell us again, what got you to this point? Did you feel like you are smart and deep enough to really give people the me, your me, to them?
I am not smarter. I'm actually very ordinary. But that mindset, that letting go of entitlement and letting go of my ego and letting go of being me sanctimoniously telling people I'm extraordinary or smart or this or that, letting go of all those identities in my head and opinions of myself in my head helped me become actually very ordinary. And that's what made me connect to people from all across the life. You from a pauper on the street to a C-suite executive in an enterprise. So it was not a miracle. It was not a moment. It was
no
years
books,
of
no religions, no
years and years of struggle and introspection.
Okay.
Introspection, hitting the rock bottom. I read all the books. No book helped me because I was not ready. And then introspection and just making a choice, I need to bring a transformation. And then the courage to bring the transformation was monumental. So the only thing I can say, the difference between me and another spiritualist who hasn't been able to muster up all that courage, because it takes immense amount of that internal courage to go through the dark night of the soul, as they say. But everybody has. I am very, very ordinary, and I can see clearly that everybody has all these beautiful abilities to be themselves.
Gosh, my head is spinning, because every line when you say, I would like to just ask you a next question from it, what you're saying. I really like you calling yourself that you are ordinary, but that you almost stripped yourself down from every complication of this world, and you decided that what is inside of you is good enough or great enough to feel for many people what they really are searching for. And I think what we do as a people who are walking and living life and breathing the troubles and tribulations and changes in life, so we do not have a time to just stop.
Yes.
And internally,
yes,
to find what really is wrong with situation or us. And I think because of your life and situation in life that you went through and you were going through, that you decided to lock yourself out of this world for a few months, which we'll be talking, hopefully you'll be coming back and you'll be telling us more and more about this. But you were like, you stripped yourself.
I did,
from,
yes.
You cleared yourself, cleared your mind, cleared your body. And you found the maybe it that matters to you?
Yeah, so that's part of the courage I'm talking about. Just to make this decision that, okay, I'm going to do nothing in this very happening, active lifestyle with a career, with relationships. But to make that choice, okay, I'm going to strip myself, as you said, of everything and become bare naked and let go of my material needs, let go of my other wants and desires, but because I want to find out who I am.
Wow.
And
that's good line. Courage, I don't know if you can repeat, because this is something that people can live by. So could you repeat if you remember what you said?
I cannot repeat because I am...
in
I'm
a moment.
Absolutely in the moment. But
we have this on a tape. We have this. We can always rewind. We can download. We can listen to the logic behind this. But again, I'm very carefully listening to you, and your thoughts are already one step ahead of me. I am still remembering very well what you said. So I think we will be advising in a sweet way to people who listen to us how they can become a little more centered, how they can become more in peace with themselves or stripped down of what worries them. Will you give them right now some advice how to do that?
As I said, for me, I was seeking help here and there with books, with some teachers, with lectures, and nothing made sense because that seeking was at a very artificial surface level. It was not that longing from deep within, which made me desire a transformation, not just a change, not just some changes, positive changes. I wanted to completely transform, and that started with that choice, with that decision, and then following through with the courage, because you have to let go of everything. You know, you are open to let go, and I had no other way. I had to be out of this world, if I wanted to live, I had to let go and transform my life. But the self-love, it came with letting go. And the divine help which came in the process of discovering myself.
I know that people listening to you, and we mentioned that you had some life issues, and it's hard to speed these things up. And when you'll be coming back, we'll be maybe talking about certain things that happened in your life that made you who you are right now. And one of the scariest and the most petrifying moment in your life was when you lost your father.
It just happened in a very tragic way. Like the day I moved to Los Angeles,
that was a dream. Your dad to clean you up and making you straighten you up as a teenager. Say go there, make yourself man. When you moved and touched the
pretty much I drove from Wisconsin, and the day I wouldn't say landed, but the day I arrived. And I joined Cedars-Sinai Medical Center as an ERB specialist. And my father, I had a chat with him, and he was a surgeon in Pakistan, and he had a surgery list, and he was delighted about my progression path and my success. And in a few hours of time, I was driving on Sunset Boulevard looking for an apartment. I got a call that he has had a massive heart attack out of nowhere. And it's pretty much gone.
So
in 2008, yeah.
Situation like that, life gives you and takes sometimes everything from you in one moment. Because in one way, you loved your daddy so much. He was your hero. He was an amazing doctor. We would like one day talk about him with you, because I think he was your hero. And the way how he was dealing with poor people in Pakistan is something that you would like also eventually to take over and just create or expand his dream of helping people with no money in Pakistan and just making them be easier to get help when it comes to medicine and
that's the altruistic side, and I think probably the mission and the purpose in my father's life, his mission and purpose was to provide top-notch medical services as a surgeon, as a general surgeon, and make it available for the common man, the average man, because surgery is a very expensive procedure wherever you are in the world.
Yeah.
But to make it available to a common man at no expense was a huge feat. And I valued that very later in my life, what my father's mission and purpose was. And now he's gone, and I understand it more. I do have a plan in my head, a conception, how I can make some medical services available to a common man in a third world country.
And the most beautiful moment and most scary moment is you lost daddy in this day when you just described to him and made him proud. You described to Daddy that you really made it. You got hired, and you, I want to people to know you're very, again, you're a very, very smart man when it comes to technology. Then could you tell, yeah, professionally, yes. What is your strength?
Yes, so I am an information systems specialist.
What does this mean?
It means, it's a Pandora's box, but it means from all IT-related applications, services from cradle to death, primarily on from IT infrastructure to advisory, engagement, planning, strategy, and then delivery solutions. So I was part of Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in the finance and IT department for the enterprise resource planning.
You worked there
for 6 years.
And then you worked also?
Then I was with Long Beach Memorial for 2 years, helping a health plan, Seaside Health Plan. And then at Kaiser Permanente as a program manager on a $400 million program to move all the clinical data from one platform to another. And now, recently, me and my partner, we have established our own IT services consulting company, so where we can take this enterprise level experience we have, but take it to these more startup and new kids on the block, so they can leverage our enterprise experience in more like a small to mid-sized business companies.
Very, very interesting. I posted on Facebook links to a website. I try to go there and understand more. This is very complicated what he's working on, or what really he's learned to do for so many years, but seems like this is a business that people need because can really bring
especially the enterprise expertise consultants are very expensive, like the Big Fours, Deloitte, Accenture, PricewaterhouseCoopers. They're very expensive for a mid-sized company to engage. Very understandably, their rates are. So what me and my partner are doing is to take that expertise and make it available for more. Mid-size enterprises, small companies. So
very interesting. So, I see this is just the beginning. Website is very informative, like in the beginning. This is something that you are working on reworking the idea how to go to. So I want to just present that Hashad has two faces, or many faces, but today three faces. We'll be reading one more poem in a moment. But outside of the coaching people and listening to their inner selves and then become maybe better human being if path of their lives bring them in the same path with Hashem, then he will talk to us. Then we have this very, very smart IT gentleman who has his own professional dreams. Then we have the dreamer, a charitable gentleman who I know you will do what you said. You will pick
Thank
up
you.
What daddy left in Pakistan. Somehow, somewhere you will find how to help children, because that's another thing that we'll be talking one day about your plans, and you'll be coming back to your country, you know, doing good. And then, you know, you are the poet, writer, amazing storyteller, which will not focus on the evening which you told us a story that just scared us to death. Everybody was like, open mouth, we listened, we believed you, didn't want to believe you, then we believed you. You suck us into amazing horror story, which when you eventually laughed and said, okay, that's all was in my head and I just was having fun with all of you. We were just admiring you as a writer, because that's another type of mind. You need to be proud of that. And so you are not too ordinary man. You are extraordinary man with a lot of beautiful sights in you. And I'm so happy Anya, we had the chance to have this evening, because that's path that you are talking about brought us together.
Yes.
That's why I want to share, Hashem, with all world. And in a way, if somebody wants to talk to you, I posted on my Facebook, even your address, Gmail. Sorry, you send me all your contacts. So
I'm an open book, please.
So could you tell us if somebody wants to just talk, because they have maybe something that they don't know why they need, maybe talk to you, not to somebody else, how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, so Email works. My email is hashamfive@gmail.com. Instagram is where I'm a little more active.
What is your Instagram?
I think my nickname, they call it nickname, is at Hashipup.
Okay, Hashipup. Okay, we probably, that's good. But, you know, Hashi, this is like shoes?
No, what is Hashi? That was my nickname when I was a kid. Everybody called me because Hashi. Yes. Hashi.
So how we spelled it so people don't look for it?
Hushypup. Hushypup.
That's very cute. Very cute. Again, whoever wants, please go to the Accent on Facebook. I posted all these connections to you. And because you are the free spirit that we capture for a moment for some conversation. And I'm hoping that next time we'll be more maybe topic oriented, yeah, so we can develop, you know, the way how you think and give to people some logic behind what you feel like, the pureness and finding yourself in us through you, the being our mirror. Yeah. So I would love people to have this process on our show. But for today, I know you have another poem, so we need to listen to this poem. What is the title of your poem?
So I am all about beingness, silence. It's silence not in the sense being muted or just being quiet. Silence is basically untangling from your mind, from your thoughts, and just be more aware in
the moment. So silence in you is to just silence out things that buzz for no reason and just be tuned to something that matters.
Yeah, the thoughts, the worries, the judgments, opinions, our feelings, our emotion. As soon as we become silent, more observant, we untangle and we can observe them as a separate entity. And that's something I had to learn through experience, through meditation. Conceptually, I heard people talking about it in their books, but I had no clue. But with experience came the knowing what actually silence really means. And basically, in a nutshell, it's just acceptance of the situation and being present with awareness.
Wow, silence is acceptance of situation that we are in.
And being present with the awareness of it, but not being part of it.
You know that we have a book, one chapter after the show. We are going. We have good lines. So you say you don't remember sometimes because you already are one step ahead, but we have that. Okay. So you are the one who really need to listen to yourself because you need to write these things. This need to be like pamphlet. It needs to be something that we can just somewhere one day download and maybe there will be Accent On presents, Hasham, you know, thoughts. And I would love that, you know, because give people some direction to improvement, soul improvement, spiritual improvement, self-discovery, freedom of thoughts, the quiet stuff.
Actually, I like this idea. In our information technology industry, we call it putting a method to the madness.
Oh my gosh.
So it's we good created to have some something. Kind of a method. Yeah.
I love it. I think people would like Hasham back. And Anya, again, thank you for introducing me to your friend. That's very cool.
I'm very grateful to Anya.
Yay. So right now,
welcome.
What is the title again of your poem?
So this is a quatrain. It's a stanza, 4 line. And basically, I wrote the first 2 lines earlier this year when I was in a desert. And then I left it as it is. And then the last 2 lines I just wrote last week.
Yay!
And this is pure out of my feelings, out of my emotions, out of my desire. And in Farsi, in Persian, or in my native language, Urdu, it's called a rubai, rubaiyat. It's a 4-line stanza of poetry. So,
rubaiyat.
Yeah, it's basically about escaping the hustle and bustle of a city and just going, connecting with the nature in the desert. And that's where, that's where you become more aware, silent, and whole. So this is how it goes. In the desert, on the path to my solace. In the desert, to the path of my solace. To drink stillness. To drink stillness from chalice of wholeness. Hypothermic heart from urban coldness. Existence underneath azure sky in chorus. So it's.
I would like you to repeat the last four lines.
Oh, okay.
That was the newest one, I think. That was the ending. One more time.
Yeah. So, in the desert, on the path to my solace, to drink stillness from chalice of wholeness, hypothermic heart from urban coldness, existence underneath azure sky in chorus.
Wow.
So I highly suggest you can email me. I'll send you this one, or
yes,
go to my Instagram
to
and read this.
The words what
yeah,
you are
this,
saying.
Once you read it, this will bring a lot of understanding and clarity about stillness and existence.
In a place that really, like the nature, that can really keep you in tune to all
and
beauty.
And why there's a need to escape the city. You know, we were in Big Bear, I think, this weekend. So why there's a need to escape the city and
big
rejuvenate
needs.
Our energy in the nature.
Beautiful. Yeah. Okay. I'm hoping people already miss you and already want to see when you are coming next time. Probably next month we'll have you back. And I cannot wait. Maybe we'll have some of your clients, then maybe they will come here too. Maybe they will help us to develop your segment, which will be great. But right now I'm transitioning to another soul food. And our beautiful princess, our beautiful queen of dieting, or no dieting, again, she's like size zero. And way how she eats, I can swear, I never ever saw so much food on her plate. And she eats it all. And just by balancing the logic behind a meal on a plate, she just is healthy and also advises a great Kaiser that we love so much, everybody, patients there, how to become healthier people too. But today, Christmas in Poland, Christmas in Europe, and we have some type of food that only Ania can describe why is so healthy. The name of this meal is
Bigos.
Okay, Ania, take it from here. Tell us what we need to do to not get very, very expanded in the stomach area after 2 weeks of eating, and what to eat, and why Bigos, Polish meal, very known, lovely, tasty, yum, is so healthy.
Well, the thing is that during Christmas, during holidays, we cannot plan to lose weight. We have to think about enjoying ourselves and
possibly
gaining like 2-3 pounds or maintaining weight. So I would never recommend anyone who wants to lose weight. I mean, I don't recommend weight loss like through the diet, but just, you know, reconnecting to the natural way of eating. But I would say just, you know, like enjoying, and during the holidays, choosing the specific meal that is famous for that specific holiday. So like in Poland, for Christmas, we do have this gorgeous, delicious, flavorful meal called Bigos, which is it means it's hunter stew. So whatever you hunt, like, you know, in 14th century, like that was the way to like, you know, use all the, you know, kind of meat leftovers. And it's pretty heavy on meat, but it's connected to cabbage, connected to fiber, probiotics from sauerkraut. So it's pretty well balanced.
But the cabbage to be sour, or can be also mixed with like green head of salad, whatever we call this cabbage, green head. Or we need to go and purchase also in a can or whatever, the sauerkraut.
Well, I like to mix both fresh cabbage, fresh green cabbage, shredded. And sauerkraut, which you can either make it. It's super easy. You just use fresh shredded cabbage. You put some water. You put just the salt and you leave it alone for like a week. So you can make your own sauerkraut from the scratch. Super easy. And you're going to be proud of yourself if you make it. Mm. Or you can buy it like every store will have it, even Ralph's or Vance or, you know, Trader Joe's. So sauerkraut, I recommend the one from the fridge, will have like live probiotics. I Well, they have also shelf-stable versions. So you mix like 2 pounds of sauerkraut with the fresh cabbage. You boil it. But while it's boiling, you do prepare the meats concoctions, which means like
mixture of lots of meats, and it could be kielbasa,
yeah,
could be pork, and could be veal, whatever we have.
Games, yes.
That I love about this, because you can, like you said, leftovers are great, but whatever you put in is good enough.
You can put your own spin on bigos, and like I like to add prunes, red wine. Some people they
prunes,
will add
dry prunes, which means dry
plums.
Plums.
So
yeah.
Prunes are high in fiber.
Already says healthy.
Good for bowel movements.
Healthy.
Fibrous.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Also mushrooms. Yes.
Yeah, and the mushrooms, the best one are the wild mushrooms. Well, like in Poland, we have a variety of mushrooms. Poland is famous from like wild mushrooms. Here, I use usually porcinis or even, you know, like brown mushrooms. They will work too. They won't bring as much flavor, but, you know, still they will bring that, you know, good texture and a little bit of flavor.
So we have cabbage that we cook, yes, still like 2 pounds or something. We have the green fresh cabbage. Separately you are cooking?
No, you cook it together. You first start with the fresh one in like 1 liter of water.
Okay, listen, people. First the fresh one, cut to the shred.
Shred,
then add the 1 liter of water. Cook, probably not for long because cabbage is cooking so fast. Open the window because we'll smell, but nicely smell. And then you
add the sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut.
But you have to rinse the sauerkraut before adding it because it may be too salty. And too much salt. It's not too healthy.
Another question. Why so much salt in every food is in the store? I don't get it.
Preserve. Preserve.
They're killing us.
Increase the life shelf life.
And
they're
killing
us. It's tasty too. Some people, they just love salty taste.
Yeah, because they taught us how to. Dude, and me too, but I cannot do this anymore. People, scary, with problems, high blood pressure and stuff like that. And first they say, don't eat salt. When you are loving salt so much, me and you, then you cannot. It's like, oh, something's wrong with this picture. So now we washed the sauerkraut, so get rid of the little sodium, and then we mix them together and cooking. And then on the side, we mix meat.
Yeah, so we take this large skillet. First, we put some bacon. I found the Polish bacon in John's store, which was like uncured, very delicious.
And we had a lot of bacon in your place when, you know, when fire was there. I'm so thankful Anya was the one who took me and my daughter for what I thought would be one night. It was four. The most beautiful nights ever for us, for her, I don't know.
That was my best time, and your dog, Porsche.
My Porsche, oh my beautiful, gosh, fluffy, overweight dog. But it's just, we
the
had
the
most beautiful, we forgot that something is burning. We just didn't even care what is burning in our place, which didn't, God thank you, because you made us so welcomed. And I am forever thankful for this 4 nights. And you were amazing. And the, like I said, bacon was additional beauty to the every morning, a big breakfast with eggs and bacon, and your bread was there, and cheeses were there, and fruit was there. So again, our expert, and again, we are talking about really very well educated with a lot of titles, woman who studied this subject for many, many years in Europe and in America. And again, she is taking care of a lot of patients in Kaiser places. So we know she knows what she's talking about. And then she teaches us that food is not enemy.
It's your best friend.
It's the best friend.
Yeah.
Just the pairing, the certain
food. How you connect
food.
It, yes.
So we need to finish the bigos. We are cooking. Everything is there. Meat is there and you cooks there. Mushrooms? There.
Prunes?
Prunes. Dry prunes.
And don't forget about the red wine.
Red wine, how much?
Yeah.
2 liters,
like,
5 liters?
Well, that's up to you. But the alcohol will evaporate pretty much, so you will just get
it's the
flavor component. About half a cup or maybe a little bit more.
What about herbs?
The herbs, it's bay leaf. Bay leaves, like I added like 8 of them, and then peppercorns, and then black pepper, freshly cracked, and then maybe a little bit salt, but most likely not.
And it's so thick. Later, you know, you could make this more watery, or eventually the water will vaporize and wine will vaporize. That is a pretty thick, this cabbage. So you can serve with bread and butter, and you can serve with potatoes, and forever, for another 2 weeks, because when we cook, we can cook for like 50 people. It's forever. Then we freeze a little bit. It's just one of those food that you never get old.
Yeah,
eating.
More you cook it, more you heat it up, better it becomes like wine. You know, older the wine, better it tastes. The same with bigos.
So bigos is fine. Now tell us what else we can do to not be crazy worrying about gaining weight, and how to eat maybe any food in time of holidays, so we just enjoy, but we don't overeat. What to do? How we can stop ourselves?
So always start...
You and I, we need to think about this. Yeah,
absolutely.
So always start with the vegetables, right?
Vegetables.
That's like the, well, magic bullet, pretty much. Start with that. When you start plating your meal, like, see, you know, what's there. So like you have bigos, that's pretty much cabbage. So start with that on your plate. And then, like, in Poland, we have Polish salad.
Yes.
I know it has mayo and potatoes, but also has some carrots, some parsnips, and so on. And so you start with that. And then always, you know, when you are, like, during the party, have your hands busy with something. So, you know, keep maybe in one hand, like, glass of sparkling water with wine. In the other hand, you may hold maybe like your business cards or your phone. So that way you are busy. So you're not gonna, like, you know, go overboard with, you know, like keeping
filling up
your hands
plate.
Busy with food.
But we want to eat. I don't want to have fun. I want to have good cake or something. So you say, I know you're right. When we start with something healthier on a table, that we already cut the appetite or something. But then we have turkey, meat, all this beautiful American Christmas or holidays, yes. So everybody wants to try everything what is on the table. And we don't eat in 30 minutes, we eat 3 hours, yes, or 4 hours, depends. So how to not eat or eat smart?
Yes, so you can use also like plate on the plate method. Okay. Like, so you take a small plate, and that's where you're going to put like the meats, starches, like, you know, the sweet potato casserole, or, you know, like potato salad, whatever the case may be. And you put that on the big plate. So you have that limitation. But another way of looking...
So portion control, in a way, try everything, but don't put on one table that is mountain.
Don't get the huge plate unless you're going to fill it with the veggies.
Okay.
So you either like, you take the small plate, and that's when you're going to put like those, you know, those great, you know, meats, you know, games, whatever, salmon, and then the carbohydrates. Or you can use just the healthy plate method, which is like half a plate of, you know, non-starchy fibrous vegetables. 1/4 of your plate is your proteins. And then 1/4 of your plate is like, you know, rice or, you know, whatever, potatoes.
Okay.
But, you know, when you're choosing the foods, like, don't go for salsa and chips, because you can have it every day. Yeah. Choose something like more sophisticated. Like, you know, maybe if artichoke dip is something that you don't eat like all year long, go for it.
I like it. So award yourself, because it's really holiday season. We want what we want, and we expect to eat what we dream about eating, instead of eating, as you say, what we can eat every day in front of TV. And
So basically being mindful about what you eat.
Of course.
Being wise about.
Yeah. Mindfulness,
which,
yeah.
Which
the stomach has own brain, I think.
That's
the problem.
Yeah, it does.
So we have lots of brains in us, yes.
Yeah. But usually our eyes are bigger than our stomach. So when we are portioning, we have to be mindful from the starting point. So what kind of plate you're going to use? Strategy on what you're going to put on the plate as a first ingredient. What kind of ingredients you're going to plate on, you know, as your meal.
So you think when I wake up after first day of Christmas and I ate all day and I enjoy, probably I gained 2 pounds right away.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? No problem.
Yeah.
Then I wake up in the morning and I don't feel like normal breakfast. I feel like everything what I ate at night, I want to eat again.
Mm-hmm.
So is this okay? So we start from the dinner in the morning?
Yeah. So the
because
thing,
we reheat everything.
Yeah.
Again.
So the thing is...
You're not alone, Ella.
I agree. People agree with us. Okay. So is this okay or we are guilty? Because sometimes when I go for sweet potatoes and marshmallows and all of these things, it's like 7 in the morning and turkey. And I'm like, oh, it's so good.
So from my practice, it looks like it takes about 2 days to balance it out, the day of like, you know, gorging, you know, like, you know, like eating more. So like, let's say we have like 3 days of holidays, then we need 6 days kind of going a little bit easier.
Okay.
Like I'm not talking about starving or not eating, but
I
just
love
kind of
her.
Eating, you know,
diet, maybe, no diet. Yeah. That's my expert, Anya. I
so
love you.
And
we didn't mention that you have amazing Instagram and people go there because you will be hungry every second of your life watching her pictures, because that's real pictures from her table. Every time when I was there, she put something, she snapped the picture and looked like catalog of food.
It is so good.
Okay, so Instagram, can you give people your Instagram?
Yeah, so that's the name of my company. It's NutriTune.
NutriTune. One word.
NutriTune.
Yes,
so NutriTune. NutriTune.
Yes, it's very easy. Tune your Nutri. NutriTune. Okay, so so Instagram. You have personal Facebook page, even when not so much. You putting. Yeah, you have from time, like Bigos. I stole their recipe and I posted on Facebook on my.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
very
of
nice
course.
Of you.
So, but if people, and I know my daughter Natasha, she's a foodaholic.
She's so great.
She loves to cook. Loves to learn from you and.
I've learned from her too. Yeah.
Yes, and we have few things that we eat every day because you introduce us to that. We will talk next month, hopefully. So I'm begging people, just go to her NutriTune Instagram. You will see real food, not like, oh, prepare for the book release. She snaps the picture of the food that she eats and people eat when they come to her home, and it's from her table. It's not like, oh, I just love you. I just love you.
I love you too.
Okay, dessert. We need to eat some desserts. And I love what you said. I don't want to jump through it because you said, okay, 3 days of eating, but then think people 6 days of eating less, but do not starve yourself because then we'll hit you back. For another 9 days, mm-hmm. you'll be over starving.
Just listen to your body, you know, let your body rest, you know, go like, body is smart. So if we really listen and we connect to, you know, ourselves, which the Hasham can help you with that.
Yeah, very similar in a way of thinking, the listening to yourself, strip yourself down of these old worries about think what's really... I'm talking like I know what I'm talking about because I can lose a few pounds. But I love what you're saying and I eat much better. I really am enjoying eating smart, you know. And from time to time I cheat, but mostly, really, I don't eat any junk on fast food or something. I just don't punish myself anymore thinking, oh, I need to, I'm escaping McDonald's or something. It's not even because I love it, but I just don't. I don't have taste for it anymore. And, you know, things like you say, for last 6 months, every month we have you once on one Monday, you just make me think that you really listen to myself. Just let's eat smart. You know?
That's my job. And eating smart, eating better doesn't mean eating less. It's actually meaning eating more, but the foods there unprocessed, natural, culturally appropriate, and whatever is in your DNA, you know, like do not follow the fads because, well, they're not gonna help you.
Yeah,
just follow your heart, right? Your stomach, but connect to your stomach first.
And what is good, you know, time always goes so fast, but you travel a lot all around the world and you like to bring from another countries foods that you can introduce or just a little twist to your liking. But again, I was there for 4 or 5 days, whatever it was, 4 nights. So I know whatever you are preaching here, you are doing around the table.
She practices what she preaches.
Yes, and I love that, you know. I just love that. So
I do.
The variety of foods that you put on Instagram is all just prepared by heart, with your heart, you know, and taste and smartness and educational point of view and health. You really are first and foremost, you're thinking healthy.
Balance, make yourself balance. It's all about balance, yeah. Not necessarily moderation, because there are different definitions for moderation. I think balance.
So today was a very special show. We had two wonderful friends who just...
Three friends,
of course, forever. And we were talking about soul, you know, our food for soul and food for stomach, which is another soul food, you know. So very similar to wonderful human beings who try to help us with mind and body. And I hope people enjoy the show, because I'm so thankful to know you both.
Thank you so much.
I would just like to end this with a one line from a national poet of Pakistan.
Okay.
It goes like this, and this is in Urdu, and I'll do the translation. Tere ishq ki intaha chahta hoon, meri saadgi dekh main kya chahta hoon. Completion of your love is what I desire. Look at my sincerity, how less I desire.
Aww, deep.
We want him back fast. Okay, and we promise we prepare the topics, and then we'll be talking more on the topics that we picked. So we are not going left and right, but hey, he's very unusual. Thank you so much one more time. Your name one more time.
This is Hasham Ahmed saying goodbye.
Anya Leszczyńska. And again, my website is nutritunforlife.com. You can find the recipe for the bigos, which we talk about today.
And of course, on the Facebook, on Accent On. Thank you. Oh, love you, people.
Love you.
Yes, we're sending love
to everybody.
Holidays.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.